Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
And the rubber chicken says, Governor DeSantis may screw around with democracy all he wants, but you fuck with Disney and Goofy and Pluto are gonna kick your ass, sir. But what do I know? I'm just a rubber chicken. Okay, I know you're angry. I know you wanted to work, but no, please stop that. There are plenty of time for us to talk. We've got to get on right now with Rantcast number 80, entitled For Gilbert Gottfried. In my small way, this is for him, this Rantcast. To remember his name, and it's another huge loss in terms of our community and for all of us. I was lucky enough to have Gilbert, get to know Gilbert, to spend time with him. I wouldn't say we were close friends, but we certainly enjoyed each other's company and had the great thing about, you know, being a comic is to have access to people who are just, whose minds are unbelievable when it comes to making, well, to making folks laugh. And we have direct access to that, and they're sitting in a room and we hear things that would just, that they couldn't handle Gilbert. Gilbert was a foul-mouthed angel. In his own fashion, they were unique in their own ways. As Bob Saget, another wonderful comic who we lost way too soon. And I would like to say that I believe if there truly is a God in heaven, that it's, if you're going to take these, take away these angels from us, to convert them into a higher angel or whatever you're doing, then you have to, at the same time, take away someone whose mouth and whose speech is filled with hate, okay? And it should be able to appear on the front page of a paper, so on one side or the other side. So we get a sense of balance here, because I don't see enough of it. And I'm not going to name names. No need to. You know, I don't care who it is that's spewing the bullshit that makes us try to get from one day to the next exhausting. And in order for us to evolve as a people, exhausting for us. It's extraordinary that we've lost over the past since this pandemic has started, there was a funeral here in New York. I wasn't here for it, and I feel badly about that. for Gilbert. If you don't know him, look up his work. It's on YouTube. You can find him in all sorts of places. And if you've never seen The Aristocrats or watched the roast of Hugh Hefner, where Gilbert makes a joke about, goes right over the line. He makes one of the first jokes about 9/11. He said, you know, he had a flight scheduled. He was going to, wanted to fly somewhere, but they said they'd have to make a stop over at the Empire State Building. The audience here, and I believe it was in New York, just went bats. They were not ready for this. But the thing is, with a tasteless joke, is you don't really know it's tasteless until the it is spoken. That's the problem, because the person who's delivering the joke, if they had that kind of ability in their head, wouldn't be the comic that they are. Okay? That's the deal. So he found out it was not going to go over. And it's like you get kicked in the stomach. I don't know how the reaction was with Gilbert, but his response was so quick, so smart, so fast, that he went to the joke about the aristocrats. He had just dug the deepest hole ever that I've seen a comic do. There've been a number of nights where I've watched this kind of thing, but that was on an epic scale, being on Comedy Central and in front of it's Hugh Hefner, so it's the world. And then he comes back with the aristocrats joke and gets the audience back. It is, a great lesson in comedy, and he was always seen as crossing that line, and I learned a lot by watching him, and I learned a lot about what that line is, and a lot of the times, and I will say this again and again and again, he was out there for everyone, but a lot of the stuff that they would yell about him, especially that he did jokes on Twitter about the tsunami, also considered tasteless and were tasteless probably, but funny, you know, sorry, but not to the Japanese. It was about the tsunami, and so not to them. Understandably, and he lost his job, a major job, as the voice of the Aflac duck, and they could have kept that hidden. or maybe Gilbert told the world that anyway. But they fired him from that. It was on Twitter. It was one of those cases where, oh, we make the discovery, you put that out there, and then it's repeated. It was really meant to be for his audience, and we learn over time the lessons that social media teach us, that you don't have a private audience there. And if somebody grabs it, they will repeat it, and they will tell you it is absolutely tasteless, and will repeat the tasteless that they see. They will repeat what they see as tasteless a million times, and then go, "Who, see? Isn't it tasteless?" Oh, boy. I was lucky, too, to be able to see Gilbert before he was known, and it was at the Improv, which is literally around the corner from where I am now and from where I worked at the West Bank. I'd gone over there to just watch what it was like in a club. I had no interest in being a comic. I was doing comedy, but really had no interest in it. Had already auditioned at some clubs to learn more about it. But was so enraged by the processes to get into those clubs, and the advantage I felt that was being taken of me and others. But Gilbert was up on stage. And at 1 a.m, it's that last go round. There are 12 people in the room, and he picked up, I'll never forget, he picked up two server trays, round ones, and just did 25,000 spectacular things. He improvised his way into the closing. And I went, wow, I'm in the presence of someone who really is a comic genius. I knew it at that point, and I'm truly was blessed, you know, to have spent that kind of time with him and being able to watch him perform. I will miss him. I also miss the, on a different level, certainly, but it made for a segue, the mask mandate, which started, which was dropped and immediately, even though we're experiencing an uptick in two variants. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. I may not be a scientist or a doctor, but I do know I've watched this each time, and each time there is a new variant, I know immediately because someone that I know who's been extra careful and been taking care of themselves gets it, even though, and all of them have been vaccinated, so it's they get sick, and it's not some a little worse than others, but they don't go to the hospital. I know of only one case where they had to go in, and I don't know if it was, I'm still not sure if it was because of what they were giving to them in terms of that the reaction may have been to the drug they were giving to them after they'd received, you know, after they'd gotten the COVID, because the person was older. So, and there's side effects to that drug that might have been what did it. But it's just amazing to me that this federal judge decided, and I was one of the last planes flying out that, you know, that you the mask mandate was in effect. And then three days later, I'm on a plane and nobody has to wear masks anymore. And I'm sorry. I've heard, and I didn't look it up because I've been so busy trying to deal with my upcoming special and trying to get tickets sold and things for the markets I'm coming to, the cities I'm coming to. They call them markets. That's how come I think we're not selling tickets, is because the because Live Nation calls them markets. And then I just said it. Bad, Lewis, bad. So I apologize for that. The cities and the towns that I'm coming to, it's taken up my time. But I've heard that the federal judge made this determination. This was the first ruling this federal judge had made. And I would think I can understand in part that it was based not on health, of course. You know, the judge can't rule on that. It was based on the fact that the language of the law was not really what it should have been. So if you wanted to do it, you had to rewrite it again, or then you go to another court to try to put it back in place. I just felt like for the people who are immunocompromised, especially, and for people who have a fear of getting onto a plane without people with masks on because of, like, for myself, there's a certain level of that fear because I'm going to see my mother soon. I don't want to get it. I know that they keep yelling the planes are safe. I don't, who knows? You know, I've had friends come off of coming from doing a flight, and then a few days later they get sick, so who knows? But I also know that I want to get this special done. I have shows I want to do. I don't want to get sick. I don't want to put anybody in harm's way, especially my mother. And I want to be able to do those shows. I don't want to have to cancel because I came down with it. And I just was recently exposed and had to deal with 5 days of and I found out that, you know, today I've tested good. I'm tested negative, and which means positive. So I am really, I just don't understand why you don't just say, okay, that's it. And the next day especially when it comes to our health, I don't get it. I think if the judge had any sense of health, and it was a Florida judge, and there was no pandemic there, of course, even though a lot of people died, I think the third most of all the states. You can look that up. I saw it in four different places. I can't do the amount of research that needs to be done they will, you know, they didn't, there'll be a denial coming through. So it's all I can do is tell you that that's basically what the numbers that the people that I trust, because we're living in two separate realities. And then the ones that normally were getting out the information needed to allow us to live our lives sanely. So one would think that just out of common sense, that the judge would have said this will be instituted in 2 weeks, you know? So that those who had purchased tickets, it was 3 days. I mean, people were hopping on planes the next day. And those who were immunocompromised, those who had underlying conditions, those who were old, might have thought, oh, maybe I'll wait a while. Maybe I'll wait, because there are these two variants out there. But, you know, Bellwether, we got to get on with our lives. We got to push forward. Fuck them. Fuck those immunocompromised. It's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. And meanwhile, DeSantis is, wow, I mean, I can't get over what he's doing. Governor DeSantis in Florida is like, it's dictatorial. It just comes a point. I mean, he basically is lashing out at Disney, and then they just say it's a fake thing. We'll see. But I mean, that he's lashing out at them because they responded, which they're allowed to do, to his, you know, his idea of instituting the fact that you can't in a, you know, I guess it was grades kindergarten through third, you can't discuss, gender. Come on. Let's grow up. Okay? Let us grow up. Nobody's going to be gendering around. And people have, there's a lot more that needs to be taught. You didn't need to put your foot down. You didn't need to show, oh boy, look at me. Look at me. I'm for your rights. It's not a right. It's an educational. It's an educational institution. You're a governor. Okay? Let the educators deal with education. Okay? You know, and I'm sorry that you're intimidated by the fact that there are people who spent and devoted time to wanting to give service to children and teach them and are not there. It's, you know, and you kind of put up this thing. It's like Disney is some sort of pedophile, you fucking idiots. No, they're not really doing. Shut up. Okay. There's that instance of that crap filtering in through our society, but you know, pointing at people who not even close to being pedophiles. You know, focus on reality, and we got enough problem with pedophiles. Go for the real ones. Huh? Put the money into that. All right? Not this madness. And then he's gonna gerrymander on his own? I mean, it's a dictatorial governor. It's extraordinary. I mean, that's what it is. You don't allow one man, especially the governor of a state, to decide how you divide the state up in terms of voting districts. You shouldn't even allow a party to do it. Okay? It's ludicrous. And the Supreme Court can't fucking figure that out over time, over it being a liberal court or conservative court or any fucking kind of whatever court. Please. God in heaven. Do it. It's got to stop. I mean, there has to be a way in which an independent commission in every fucking state decides how you divide up the districts. Ludicrous. And then, of course, everybody's favorite, Marjorie Taylor Greene, is somebody's filed a suit saying, a number of people saying that she shouldn't be allowed to run because she was involved in the January 6th insurrection, and was tried to overthrow the government in some fashion, or certainly in terms of voting, and they've taken her to court. She was on the stand, and she couldn't remember anything. Did you say this? Anything. Couldn't remember a thing. And then there's things that she tweeted out. She couldn't remember tweeting them out. Maybe, and this could be it, giving her the benefit of the doubt here, that COVID, she has COVIDity of the brain, that's what happened, that she caught it early, ran for office and then started flapping her gums and saying shit that she can't even remember now. And she, you know, because she's really moved on to a better tomorrow, because she's found out, I guess, that maybe it doesn't matter if she make more money if she's not in Congress. Okay. And the proof of that is Joe Biden, who just made only $600,000 last year, him and his wife, but paid $150,000 in taxes. Okay. Why don't you look at that for a moment, Elon Musk? Okay, $44 billion you're going to pay for. Yeah, there's no need to tax him. $44 billion for Twitter. That's going to be a fun little thing to do now. Son of a bitch. And that's what we got. I've got one thing to read to you. Here's a little bit. Two little pieces for you. One, a 21-year-old Chihuahua in Florida just recognized as the oldest dog alive by the Guinness Book of World Records. People can't believe how good he looks for his age. 21. Whew. I had a dog that had given up to my girlfriend at the time, her parents, and that dog lived to 18, which I thought was pretty remarkable. But 21 and a Chihuahua. How would you know? I mean, it's maybe it's because the person uses makeup on the Chihuahua. Who knows? But this one is the one really that's over the top. This is where you see that the far left, the far right have got to literally they should just put them, have a cage match, not where they beat each other up, but they just sit in a cage and yell at each other, you know, and not bother us. And then they show at the end of the week that maybe the best yelling, like 5-minute clip, somebody edits it like they do my bullshit here. And so here we are, two members of a Scottsdale, Arizona Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee accused a DJ at a disco-themed school charity event of dressing up in blackface, only to be told the DJ, Kim Coco Hunter, is a black man. Is a black man. DEI, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee member Stuart Roden amended his accusation. This is saying Hunter appeared to be at the very least in darker makeup, if not blackface. Wow. Both sides. Boom, 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 boom. The brain just reels. Reels. We have got to our educational system is in tatters. If that's who's, I just, but I don't care if it is in tatters. That's he's a problem as much as DeSantis is a problem. Okay, I don't even know if one would call him an educational person. I don't know. I don't even know two members of the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee. Of where? At the school? No, but it's not. You know, who knows? We need to let our educators educate. We need to pay them. Okay? We need to pay them. And that's all I got to say. You can hear in the background, maybe I don't think so, the sirens as they speed across the city of New York as I close this, our 80th. Ooh, 80, huh? Our 80th Rantcast together. I really would like to thank all of you who continue to send in those rants. If you haven't heard yours, it has nothing to do with the quality of your rant. I will be reading, I hope, some more of them this summer. As my tour winds down, really not winds down, but winds up to the final big crescendo at the special, which we are shooting at the Paramount Theater in Huntington, New York, and that will be on May 15th at 8 o'clock. If you can be there, that would be great. I would deeply appreciate it. An interesting, beautiful little theater there, and I really would I'm hoping that all of you can get out there who can. But before that, this week, I'm April 28th, 29th. I'm at the Fillmore Theater in Detroit, the 30th, the Chicago Theater in Chicago, a big, big room, with but a great one, a great theater. And finally, the and not that the Fillmore isn't, I did a special there. And then finally, in Champaign-Urbana, the Virginia Theater. Then May 5th, I'm in Richmond at the Carpenter Theater. May 6th and 7th in Washington, D.C., at the my old stomping grounds, the Warner Theater, where it's like being on that stage is like taking a warm bath, ending in Greensburg, Pennsylvania, on the 8th. I hope you can make it out. We still got tickets for those shows. Washington, D.C., by the way, folks, Washington, D.C., the second show on May 7th. We've still got, for those of you who are a member of the fan club, the FUs out there, let me just say, we've still got great seats for that, that we're holding for you. Don't let us have the, I don't want to turn them back to the powers that be, that we put them aside for you guys. So that, and if so, if you're still looking to come to DC, or if you're in DC and want to see the show, that's the way to go. Join the fan club. You have access to a ton of stuff. I'm even going to make Kathleen a member. I had forgotten to. You have access to all the rants, everything, a ton of stuff, and a treasure trove that I'm sure will, there'll be more coming. I'm on the way, and more coming for you. And thank you, all of you who've been coming out, all of you who've sent in your rants, all of you for what you've given me. It means the world to me. I hope you have a splendid week, and that the summer brings us a chance to get over the bullshit that we're all slinging, and maybe relax for a minute and remember that we are in this together. Take care.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that, and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angi.com.
We are coming to you live from Cincinnati, Ohio. At the beautiful Taft Theater, and I wish that, you know, that those of you who are watching could have been here tonight, because this this audience was fucking unbelievable. And it was really, I didn't want to come back from my vacation, and now, fuck. Now they make me feel like working again. What a bunch of pricks. You know, that's, for those of you who've not been to Cincinnati, it's kind of been, there's been a bit of a boom here. When I first came here, you know where I first appeared here? Years and years ago at a place called, it was a jazz club called Bentley's. And I was, yep, and that's why it's no longer here. Oh, five people who applauded. Did he say he was riding a Bentley? No. So it goes way back, and then you have to go have your... The thing that separates Cincinnati in terms of you, makes you wonder, is that they, and for years I still consider it like, it's like the mystery of the Sphinx. What possesses these people to eat five-way chili? There's a place called Skyline Chili, which is, yeah. And all I can say is fly here and try it. And tell me if I'm wrong. I think that they signed a pact. And they all said, look, we are really going to come up with this fucking idea that's kind of stupid. And we're going to sell it. And just tell everybody it's great. It's five-way chili. And all you need to know is this. You need to put the chili goes on top of spaghetti. Okay? That's it. Chili and noodles is something that nobody in the history of the making of chili ever said, fuck, where are the noodles? But I don't want to digress because they have written some stuff and you will certainly get a sense of why you should spend some time here. The verse is from Dave McGowhey. I hope I got your name right. I'm missing the season finale of Ghosts for this. Well, and I'm sorry, Dave. You know that you can probably fucking see it again. There's 12,000 ways to do it. Just ask somebody in any row. As you're leaving the theater, just turn to anyone, and they will tell you how you'll be able to catch that series finale. But thank you for ripping yourself out of your home. I have watched Ghosts. I fucking have no clue as to how that show is on the air. It's loved. It's fucking loved. And and you are really, and I can't wait, my friend. One of my close friends, who I actually just saw recently, was Marklin Baker, who is actually from Perfect Strangers. He's on Ghosts, and that's the only reason I fucking watched the show. And I think he was on the last episode, so I'm going to tell him that you fucking love it, Dave, and he's going to be coming to your house for chili. Caitlin Brown, I needed to share this, and I know why. When your child ends up wanting nothing to do with you and only wants daddy, I'm sorry. I only destroyed my body carrying you for 9 months and then put you out of my crotch with no meds, and what happens? The little shit only wants daddy. Going on 4 years now, and there's no credit where it's due. Scott Oakes, please rant about how aging makes sex better. Yeah, I'm going to rant about that. Because after 45, I still come the same. I just do it before 10 p.m. Well, it's past 10 p.m., and I hope that you didn't do that here. This is Rob Calvert. We have a few about their baseball team. This is a follow-up to my Cincinnati Reds ownership note from before. I'm flying a banner over the stadium on Saturday. I set up a GoFundMe page to pay for it with anything extra going to the Free Store Food Bank of Cincinnati. Here's the link. I don't have it. The banner being flown says, "Where are you going to go? Already gone. Thanks, Phil." This is in reference to Phil Castellini, who's the owner, telling Reds fan, where are you going to go if they challenged ownership ineptitude? He's an arrogant fuckstick. And I hope he's here tonight. So it's thanks, GoFundMe.com. Show your Castellini love on Saturday. This is followed by Don Lewis. The Cincinnati Reds are fucking awful. The owners sold off all our players. They do this every 2 years. We're always in a season of rebuilding. Someone expressed this frustration to the Reds president, Phil Castellini, and that arrogant, smug asshole asked us where are we going to go and then proceeded to threaten the fans with moving the team out of town. Fuck Phil Castellini. What's interesting is you can take my team, which blows on a different level, but sucks. I've got, we have pitchers, we actually have picked up a few pitchers who have no hands. That's the, well, they're, seriously. Price is very good. You know, seriously, they sometimes they can go maybe two or three pitches. No, it's fucking unbelievable. I'm the Baltimore Orioles, okay? Yeah, good. Why don't we play each other and see who really is a piece of shit, okay? First, I know you guys are on a losing streak of, what, 116 games, but we're right on your tail. Our first four games, we scored one run in 36 innings, okay? Fucking, even, like, just sending somebody out with a fucking fly swatter could come up. You could combine our two teams, and we'd still be, we wouldn't even be able to play minor league ball. Marissa Alexander Scott, I'm a veterinarian. This is unbelievable. Why are people returning their pandemic pets? Oh, wow. Wow, if that's one of the pets, that's the scariest thing I've ever heard. I heard this week that local shelters are having to euthanize healthy pets just because some Karens and Kens decided that pet parenting is hard, or say, I didn't know they would cost this much. Wow, that's pandemic pets. Wow, son of a bitch, I had an imaginary pet. I did, I had an imaginary dog, the fuck ran away. Lisa Thrush, my boyfriend tried to sneak into your show in Cincinnati with a beer in his back pocket. Boy, that's thinking, huh? Got busted. I looked for another guy to take his ticket and sit next to me. They let him in anyway. Should I take him home or leave his ass searching for his beer in the trash can outside the Taft Theater? Yes, sirree, Bob. I think you know the answer. Okay, Angela Reith. For fuck's sake, why are people still wearing the face diapers? There are people here tonight with them as everywhere else. It's over. Take that shit off. You look like a retard. Okay. See, and I don't know. Here's part of the problem we deal with when I deal with that somebody could write this just to hear me lose my fucking mind. And I get a lot of that. It's like called poking the bear. Okay, but if that's legitimate, I've talked about it in the act, I will continue to talk about it, okay? There are reasons people wear that mask, and you can't criticize them for wearing that mask, and there's no reason for that. There is no reason at all, none whatsoever. And you're going to have to take a short course, and I don't know where you get it, in empathy. Because that's what it boils down to. I have to see my mother. It's this simple. Whether you want to believe it or not, I believe that because I've watched people get sick over and over and over again, and I go to see my mother. My mother's 103. She got boosted. I'm going to see her in 2 weeks. When I get there, I wear the mask so that when I get there, I'm fucking sure I'm not sick. That's why I wear the mask. And if I look like there's something wrong with me mentally, I don't really care, because I don't want to fucking die! Wow, this is... See, Cincinnati's been having some problems, and, you know, they almost won that Super Bowl, and I was a big... I'm serious, I was a big Joe Burrow fan, I'm a big... My team... And that, and the lack of applause for the team is just appalling. Okay? Everyone in this room, you're too tired? Couldn't put your hand? No. Too late. I'd grown to love you, and now it's gone. My team is the Washington, I won't even call them what their name is. Their new name is even worse. The Commodes. And so I started tracking you guys. I love watching your team. I think they're terrific, and it was a pleasure. And I thought they were going to win because I refused to bet on them in that fucking Super Bowl. I said, "Fuck! If I don't bet on them, I bet they win." Fuck! So Cincinnati, Ohio was just ranked number 2 highest homicide rate increase today. Someone just applauded, and that was really... And if that were not bad enough, I had to pay $6 for a small bag of sugar pecans in the fucking lobby or risk my girlfriend feeling like I don't love her enough. This is written by Steve Carell, which is just not true, but ends it with, as if I didn't love her enough, as if she isn't worth $6. I'm ending with this because I think it's not something written by you guys, but that it's really just a great piece of writing, and I think I know you'll enjoy it. This is so up your alley. This is Casey Ray. Can we just admit the job title of influencer is a new age way of people indulging their narcissism? These people think that because they're attractive, that I would give a single fuck about seeing pictures of them pretending to frolic in a field. It really is so bizarre that they live manufactured, fake, pseudo-celebrity lives. They hire professional photographers to take photos of them in different clothes on different streets and parks. And then they host Q&As like anyone gives a shit. Stephanie, we all know you're just answering your own questions, and no one, and I mean no one, gives a fuck what kind of coffee you drink in the morning. People are dying, you narcissistic, ignorant twat. An estimated 40 wars are happening on this planet just this year. 40 this year, and your contribution to the cosmos, to the great history of this humankind, is to film a video of yourself trying on hundreds of dollars of crop tops and pants from a child sweatshop labor factory? Can you smell the sweat from their tiny, nimble little fingers? Your ancestors fought off war, famine, disease, and Mother Nature, the bad bitch herself, so that you could grow up to lip sync a Kardashian for 5 seconds and show discount codes for corporations. I hope you know your ancestors are weeping at your cringeworthy, horrendously stupid and awkward to look at TikTok dance that you had to reshoot it 6 times because you couldn't even stay on beat. I sincerely and genuinely ask that you consider your meaningless contribution to the forward progress of civilization and the betterment of your fellow humans. You will possibly wallow in shame, or maybe you'll see the bigger picture finally and be committed to making some kind of small, positive impact on the world, and then lay your head on your essential oil soaked pillowcase, pull down your silk eye mask, go to sleep, wake up, and then forget all about this revelation. And then take a picture of your bathroom counter or that stupid smoothie that looks like it tastes like shit again. As I know you will, because you are an extraordinarily wannabe, fake, manufactured, bullshit, off-brand, diet little cult leader. You self-indulgent, self-centered, self-obsessed psychopaths. That came from Casey Ray. That's all we've got for you tonight. We're here tonight in Akron, Ohio, at the beautiful Goodyear Theater, and it's a pleasure to be here. And I've not been in Akron in a long time. Literally, we just drove in. Usually I tell you what I saw today, but I didn't see anything. But I gathered that things are getting better for some people from what I read in the rants, and for other people, it's been a hellhole. So I don't know. I'm not sure how things are going. I do know that a lot of rubber is made here, and apparently it's made everyone, you know, but I don't, I'm going to stop. I do know, I remember, and I don't know if there's still some, your minor league baseball team, they were serving a sandwich there, right? That was fucking staggering. Yes, they were, because I did it on The Daily Show, fuckers. Don't go quiet on me. Okay, that's it. Son of a bitch. They'd been really great, I tell you, right until that moment where they went, ah, fuck him. Let's watch him die. That's what they told me. They handed me a report. I saw the fucking sandwich. I can't remember what was in it. And I would have done my homework and fucking, you know, looked at the, but fuck it. No. It wouldn't have been worth it because you fucked me here. Maybe they don't make that sandwich anymore, Lewis, you dumb piece of shit. Maybe the team's left town. Maybe the team said, fuck you and fuck your sandwich.
Rubber chicken.
Rubber chicken, yes, thank you. This goes to Aaron Dauterman, who said this. When I first heard Akron was the rubber city, I initially thought of condoms. Boy, was I wrong. Maybe if we were known for condom production, there might be a lot fewer degenerates roaming around this cesspond of a city. And being a suck on resources, that's a delightful little thing. And nice for you. That went throughout the world, Aaron, throughout the world. And you've done a pretty good job of stopping people from moving here. I think that one, always nice to really begin with something like that. But I thought we should get it off, you know, just get that off the table there. And this is Andrew Mortensen. It appears the only way I can get out of the house alone without the wife or kid is to come to your Akron show. Because the wife doesn't find you to be funny at all. Claudia Castaneda, Mr. Black, I had a shitty day and was not feeling like leaving the house. But then I thought, fuck, I've got tickets to a show. I bought them a long time ago. And if there's someone that can make me laugh by only saying, fuck you, that be you. So here I am. Say, fuck you, Cece. Okay, fuck you, Cece. This is from Don Kroger. This is my, might I suggest, an industrial strength anger button. It's a piece of merchandise that I sell, and people have been pissed that we're not bringing merchandise to sell at the shows, and I won't do that until we're through this, the rest of this nonsense. I'm not going to put somebody else up in terms of dealing with that, and eventually we'll be bringing merch back. But right now, you know, you just got to go online. And Mr. Black, I've already gone through three of the anger buttons. And by gone through, I mean beat them to fucking death. One of them had the audacity to whisper your rants at me. Kind of defeated the fucking purpose of your rants. Needless to say, that button shattered into a million pieces. Oddly enough, watching its destruction brought me great pleasure. Holy shit, here's an idea. Sell some shit meant to be smashed for those of us with anger issues. Oh, yeah, and fuck Ohio. Well, oh, tough shit. Okay, you should have sent something else in, huh? Did you send anything in? I doubt it. Okay, that's what you allow to come through. I say this constantly. Okay, he said fuck Ohio. What can I tell you? I'm not supposed to read it? Well... No, yes. Yeah, I am. That's the deal. It's for people to get shit off their chest. And somehow Ohio has sat on his chest. John Houston. Hello, Lewis. Welcome to Ohio, home to one of the most corrupt and inept state legislatures in the country. There. Boo, boo. Bold statement, you say. Let's point out an example of how they live by the mantra, government, if you don't like the problems we cause, just wait until you see our solutions. Very good, John. Gun violence is growing, and illegal guns are a problem everywhere. Our solution? Don't require pesky things like licenses or registration. Then it's no longer illegal. Brilliant. That includes concealed carry. That's right, Lewis. When you're out enjoying a nice glass of wine after tonight's show, that bulge in the pants of the person sitting next to you at the bar is probably not because they're happy to see you. But what's next? Maybe we'll eliminate fatalities from excessive speeding on the interstates by eliminating speed limits. Holy shit, we can eliminate COVID by passing legislation that declares it doesn't exist. Maybe we can eliminate racism by preventing teachers from talking about pesky topics like slavery or the Holocaust in schools. Oh, fuck, I forgot we already have people working on that in the legislature. So again, thanks for coming to Ohio, Lewis. Please come back soon. I promise we will supply an unlimited amount of material for your act. So I recently asked my third grade students to come up with some writing topics for us to use in class. After calling on every student I could, I reluctantly called on that kid. You know the one. The one that gives really ridiculous answers every time you call on him. Go ahead. What would you like to write about? Mrs. Ponton, how do you make donkey syrup? What the actual fuck? I'm reading you this because this comes so far out of nowhere and is just a perfect time to read within the context of where we're at with spring kind of fucking us, you know. This is from Christopher Amadeo. Raindrops on roses, whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. I hate your fucking holiday blow-up lawn decorations. I literally just got this a few days ago. You gotta understand that. Somebody has been sitting on this quite some time. And it finally is just, fuck, I can't wait till Christmas. Don't misunderstand me. I love lights on houses and traditional lawn decor. But you lazy-ass redneck hillbilly NASCAR fans and your inflatable Frosties where Santa flying a fucking airplane can go fuck yourself. And what is more sacrilegious than an inflatable nativity scene, you couch potato fucks? You take 2 minutes to plug in your wannabe Macy's parade on your lawn, but never take 30 seconds to pick up your dog shit. That's good. And you fuckers don't just put up one, but 4 to 40 of these monstrosities for every fucking holiday. Minions, the pups from Paw Patrol, and Disney characters are too damn much. Either your kid is in charge of all your purchases, or you have an odd fucking fascination for juvenile things. But what about the kids, you say? It's fun for the kids. Think about the kids. It's Christmas. You know what else is fun for the kids? Covering the floors and walls in bubble wrap and setting a plate at the dinner table for the family dog. But we're not doing that because it doesn't make sense. We could power third world countries with the amount of electricity you're using on your gaudy-ass Hawaiian Santas and inflatable jack-o'-lanterns, jackass. But yet you can't fucking make your car payment. And by the way, those light projectors that illuminate snowflakes or other designs onto your house, it's a holiday, people, not a Pink Floyd show. And by the way, take your fucking tacky-ass decorations off your cars, too, you Slim Jim-eating lame asses. Wow. I have to read that again. And by the way, take the fucking tacky-ass decorations off your cars, too, you Slim Jim-eating lame asses. It's a car, not your village parade. You're not celebrating holidays. You've got your noses so far up the box store's asses you can see what they ate for lunch. So get up your redneck asses and go to the county fair and leave the decorating to the people who really care. Thank you for caring. Thanks for coming out tonight.
Thanks to all of you for listening to my Rantcast. If you have a rant you want to get off your chest, send it in to me at lewisblack.com/live. You can think of it as therapy, or whatever you want to think of it as. Just let it rip. And I want to thank the true stars of our show, the ranters, and the splendid rants they gave us. Lewis Black's Rantcast was created and hosted by me. Haha, Lewis Black. It is produced by James Salkind. Our theme song by Chris Lane. Executive producer, Ben Brewer. Executive producers, Matt Kleinschmidt and Robert Kelly for the Laugh Button Podcast.
And most of all, thank you, all of you, who ranted so well on this show.